Hoffaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
The knit between how you're doing physically affects you in your soul, your mind, your emotions, your will, then your very spirit.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today on the program, we'll study the 11th of the 12 marks of a difference-making believer. As we study James 5, verses 13 through 18, we'll learn about the importance of prayer and local church involvement.
John Ort Berg, in a book in 1997, the title, The Life You're Always Wanted. And he says about this particular idea when he said, I believe Mary is brought in for the last play of the game because prayer is something we generally associate with desperation. He says, the idea behind this terminology is that for the majority of the game, I can rely on my own resources. I'll depend on my game plan and my personal. However, at a moment of crisis and desperation, when I've run out of time and opportunity, when human cleverness and mortal strength have failed me, when all other options are gone, that's the time to throw up a prayer, Hail Mary. He says desperate people pray. They pray without thinking about it. They pray even if they're not sure who they're praying to or anyone out there is listening at all. Fact is, the Hail Mary play, people know that whether they're atheists or Christians. The application, I thought, was so well done. He says, people in foxholes pray. So do people who go through divorce, have children that run away, or hear from a doctor that the lab results say the growth is malignant. When we reach the limit of our resources, we pray instinctively, reflexively, like the man lacking oxygen, gasps for breath, and the way a man who is falling reaches out for something to grab. He says, now, it's not bad to pray in a time of crisis. And one of God's most amazing attributes is that he is humble enough to accept people when they turn to him in sheer desperation, even when they have been ignoring him for years. Desperation prayers have been the beginning of spiritual life for many people. And by themselves, such prayers are not sufficient to sustain spiritual life. But the reality is, when we pray, God hears, and the most immediate prayer he answers more than any other prayer is the cry for help. Let me give you what I see in the text, very simply, is three situations in which God answers prayer. What does all of this mean? Again, this is us as a church and the local church involvement. He encourages us to pray. Let me give you, first of all, is verse 13, very simply, a general statement that would give us the first of three situations. First of all, understand that God answers prayer during the normal concerns of life. God answers prayers during the normal concerns of life. In other words, being in a place to realize that for people in everyday living, normally you're going to have challenges. In other words, prayer for the usual times of a church member. That's what he's talking about. You see, the idea is there are times throughout your day, throughout your week, throughout your month, that you know what? There are times that you're going to be afflicted. There are times that you're going to be happy. Times you're happy. Man, I'm singing psalms. Life is great, but life's not always great. And there are times that you are afflicted. So very simply, sometimes we don't feel like praying. But if there were ever a time that we need to pray, it's when we don't feel like it. We need to pray until we do feel like it. This is the response. If you've got that, then you can understand that James moves forward with now not just the prayer of the normal concerns of life, but he moves forward also with the prayer that God answers in healing sickness and even forgiving sins. He mentions it in verse 14. Look at your Bibles. He says in a question form, which James gives these short questions and short answers that leave very sharp points to make. They're very effective when he says, now verse 14, he says, now listen, are any of you sick among you? What do you do? This isn't just the prayer now of normal living. He says, listen, here's where God answers prayer in healing sickness. In other words, it's the prayer for that special times of a sick person. You see, that first prayer is prayer of individuals. This is a prayer that is for pastors and those in a local church involvement. Now, some people have taken this out of context and just laid this out here. You know, it's not God's will for you to be sick. Then I'm reading, I'm going, well, James said, is any of you sick? Evidently, there were Christians in the New Testament church that were sick. It's not God's will for you to be healthy all the time. You might be healthy all the time, but there's no quicker way for us to realize we're human and God's not than we get sick. Now, this is more than just the Hail Mary prayer, like the football play. Get out, everybody go along the end zone. And hopefully, oh, please, Lord, catch this. You know, it's like prayer. It's just to wing it out there. Wham, get it out there, and maybe it'll happen. That's not what he's talking about here. Really, very simply, when he says in verse 14, the person that is sick, he says, and it implies, is it because of sin that this is happening? When you're going to call the elders of the church or the pastors, in context of this, I think give you a couple of meanings here. Medicinally, the Greek word translated anointing is a medicinal term. It could be translated massaging. The word anoint is the common word for massage. It's used in Mark 16:1, where the woman anointed the body of Christ for burial. Oil was a common medicine in that day. Physicians often anointed the sick with oil. Luke 10:34. The picture here is of saints not only praying for one another, but also using the means God supplied for their health. In fact, in that day, in that economy, doctors were respected, but they weren't looked at as they are today. This is one of those in which, in that day, the doctors were recognized. Probably most of their medicine was more of East than it is West today. But many times that virgin olive oil was used in medicinal ways. And evidently in James' day, those leaders of the church, elders, pastors, bishops, all terms of the same office, were ones that would, when people were genuinely sick, it could be meaning that they were sick because they were sinning. And that's why they're sick. And they called for the elders because they were too sick to come to see the elders or the pastors, that they had to go see that sick person because they weren't feeling well. They were sick, and they were making sure, first of all, is it because of sin? Of 1 Corinthians 11 and 2 Corinthians 5 imply that there is some sickness as unto death. There are times that people get so sick that actually God takes them home because of that. That could be implied with this. But the fact is that medicinally, there were times where God ended up allowing these leaders to give them medicinal help. Now, let me help you understand. Today, here we have, how does it apply to us? Thank God for doctors. Thank God for medicines. And if you're sick, you need to take advantage of that. And our medicine has improved, and it has given us opportunities to take advantage of things we've learned over the years. Hey, take advantage of the medicine there. You got a doctor there. Take advantage of that. The normal daily living, things happen. But when we do get sick, boy, there's no quicker time than we're crying out to God. And nobody knows that more than the wives married to men. When we get sick, we curl up in a fetal position, and please, just baby me. Well, the reality is, he very simply is saying the person is healed by, he says, notice verse 15, the prayer of faith, and you're calling it out in the name of the Lord. So he deals with medicinally that will help you. And in that day, the pastors were helping them medicinally and massaging them. These were people that I think beyond just the physical side of this, also they needed this because of persecution, but also their hearts were hurting. The idea of sick implies a weak, exhausted, weary, in many occasions depressed condition. I think it means physically, but also thinks their own soul. These were people that were being persecuted. These were people that were hurting. These were people that were scattered abroad. It wasn't just that the Jews were against them because they were Christians, but other people were putting persecution on them. In many occasions, they physically were banged up and beat up because of persecution. But in some occasions, it was also just their own soul. The knit between how you're doing physically affects you in your soul, your mind, your emotions, your will, then your very spirit. And many times, if your spirit isn't right and things are wrong internally in your soul, you know you're living with sin, James is saying, listen, then you better end up going and dealing with and asking people, would you by prayer of faith, be able to save the sick? And sometimes it's not just physically, sometimes it's in our own soul. To be able to say, God, would you please help me to be able to address these things? And so he says very simply, the person confesses his sin. He says in verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. He starts with medicinal. And I do think, particularly metaphorically, maybe the elders' anointing of the week, defeated believers with oil, conveys the responsibility for us to stimulate, to encourage, to strengthen, to refresh those people. It may well have been that the elders literally rubbed that oil on believers who had suffered physical injuries, and then they also prayed for them. The idea of verse 16, the person confesses his sins, and the three essential verbs when he says, notice, confess, when he says verse 16, confess your faults, the same word, harmatio, which means sin. You confess your sins one to another. And then the second verb, pray, pray for one another. And then he says that you may be what? You may be healed physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. The confessing that James wrote about is done among the saints. He was not suggesting confessing our sins to a preacher or a pastor. You give that to Christ. We confess our sins, first of all, to the Lord, 1 John 1:9. Then we must also confess them to those who have been affected by them. We must end up confessing that sin to that person privately. And if that sin became more public, then I'm going to say it publicly. It's to the circle of offense, of influence. There's many occasions that I've seen where a person says, well, okay, I've confessed this to God, but there's plenty of other people that knew about that sin. Then you know what James is saying? You confess this to one another. If the church body knows, boy, you know what? Everybody knows that person's living in sin. And then they say, I want to get this right. I'm not right. Then I'm going to tell you something. What he's saying is, according to Scripture, you need to let other people know so that others will be able to pray for you, so that you will have a cleansing of your own soul to know, listen, others are praying for me. And what that does, as it did to the church at Corinth, it provided a purifying effect to realize, you know what? I can't live in disobedience. Is it possible? Let me come back to again to realize, wow, if I'm doing things that aren't right and I'm sinning against the Lord, I'm sinning against my brother, and I say, I want to get this right. It's automatic that not only I just want to get this right here, but there's a freedom to say, I want to be honest and transparent and let other people know, man, I need prayer. This is the power and influence. I'm going to tell you what that means. That means risk. And many occasions, this has been violated in churches. Many of you have been in other churches, and you've seen this, where people, man, I just want to get these things straight and get this right, and they're honest and they're transparent, and they say these things, and others that are what he mentions earlier in the chapter, they're grudging, they're complaining, they're critical, that they take advantage and they hurt that person. You know what they say? I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to be honest again. And it keeps them from understanding the power and influence that God says, I will help.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.